Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today we celebrate the third Sunday of Advent. Now, our church used to call this Gaudete Sunday, which is Latin for rejoice. In fact, it's imperative, and it's a command. And this is the reason why we light the pink candle on the Advent wreath, because it's a symbol of joy as we wait to celebrate the birthday of our Savior. And so it signifies that His birthday is close at hand. Now, with that in mind, turn to that second reading from James. He says, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth? You too must be patient." Now, patience is a virtue, yes, but it's also difficult for us sometimes to practice. Think about it. We as Americans, we pride ourselves to be a people on the go. You know, we all have our to-do lists at any given day. You know, things that we need to do, whether it's errands or work around the house. And at the end of the day, we feel good. When we look at that list and we've checked them all off, we feel a sense of accomplishment. We're kind of, in some ways, proud of ourselves that we got all these things done over the course of that specific day. Now, you could also argue, too, our culture has conditioned us not to wait, not to be patient. Give you a great example of this, probably maybe over 40 years ago, was the drive-through window, right? That was the latest craze. You know, you didn't have to get out of your car. You could just drive up to a window, maybe at McDonald's and get your food, maybe at Walgreens and get your prescription filled, you know, at any laundromat and get your laundry done. Or, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And so it was a way in which we could speed up our lives. We didn't have to wait in line at the shopping center or in the grocery store. We could just pull in with our car and not even get out. But then came the advent of the internet. And after COVID, essentially it spawned, you could say, a new generation in which instead of getting into our cars, all we have to do now is basically sit on the sofa, open up the laptop, and we can start buying things. Whether it's Amazon, we can buy clothes or tools. We can log on to Pick and Save's website and start buying groceries. And guess what? It's all delivered to us. We get it all delivered. And so we don't even have to wait. Essentially, we're sitting on our couch having all these things delivered to us. And so we don't wait anymore in the stores or in the grocery stores. But there are some things, yes, we do have to wait for. If we take our car in to get fixed or any type of maintenance, we have to wait for it, either in the shop or at home. We go to the doctor's office and we have to wait to see the doctor, which is, you know, one of my pet peeves. I always get there 5 to 10 minutes early before the appointment, and then the appointment comes, and I'm still waiting in the waiting room. 15 minutes goes by, 20, 25 minutes goes by. Finally, the nurse calls me into the examining room, and then I start waiting again. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and then the doctor comes in, and she says that she's worried about my blood pressure, that it's skyrocketing through the roof. Well, I have no idea why that could be. And so we are people that find waiting and patience difficult sometimes. You know, it reminds me of the great quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald, "The three worst things in life. One is lying in the bed and not able to fall asleep, trying to please somebody and we just can't, and waiting for someone's arrival and they never come." And yet, when you look at Christianity, waiting and patience is deeply associated with our faith. I'll give you a great example. Look at the Nicene Creed towards the end. We say, "I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." Well, that's so true. We spend our whole life really waiting, waiting, you know, to journey from this world to the next, waiting to see God face to face, to be in heaven. And so, yes, we wait. Now, there are many things in our spiritual life that requires patience, right, and waiting. Spiritual maturity doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's a gradual process in which we have to patiently work at it throughout our entire life. I think the greatest example of waiting, patience, is turn to the Old Testament prophets. I would argue they modeled patience for us all. They lived hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, and yet they saw these revelations and these visions from God about the coming Messiah. And yet they had to wait before it came to fruition. I'll give you some examples. Jeremiah 31. God says, "The days are coming when I will establish a new covenant with my people, and I will write it on their hearts." Or Zechariah 9, "Rejoice, Jerusalem, for your king is coming." Or Daniel 7, he sees Jesus Christ, coming down from the heavens with the angels into this world. Or 2 Samuel 7, where God, he builds a house in his own name. Just look at all the Psalms. Many of the Psalms are sprinkled with, you know, revelations of the Messiah's coming and how that will affect our lives. What's required? Essentially, patience. The Old Testament prophets saw this, and yet it took hundreds of years for it to come to fruition. Just look at us. You know, the seed of faith was planted in us at the moment of our baptism, and yet we had to exercise patience. Patience to allow God to let that seed blossom and grow throughout our entire life. Now, God gave us things like the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, the virtuous life, lifelong faith formation, to nurture and grow that seed so it does blossom, but it blossoms throughout entire life, not at one specific moment. Now, that's a great segue into that first reading from Isaiah. Now, over the past 3 weeks, during the season of Advent, Isaiah has been giving us these great revelations or visions about the coming Messiah. Remember the first week of Advent? It was the great vision of God's holy mountain, all the nations of the earth streaming up, you know, gathered by God. And on top of that mountain, God gives right instruction, right teaching. Last week, Isaiah spoke about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, this week, he talks about faith blooming in terms of flowers. He says, "The desert and the parched land will exult. The steep will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers." Blooming flowers in the desert. See, the biblical scholars knew the desert was a very special place. In fact, the Israelites are considered a desert people. If you look at some of the biblical heroes, they're always moving through a desert, you know, in order for their faith to become spiritually mature. Give you some examples. Look at Abraham. He listens to God, who tells him to pick up everything and move to a foreign country with a foreign language and foreign customs that he knows absolutely nothing about. And yet, because he has faith, he does it. He leaves present-day Iraq, which was his home, and he travels through a desert to get to the promised land, Israel. Moses. He leads the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt through the desert in order for them to reach their home in Israel. John the Baptist is the voice crying out in the desert, and yet before that, he lives in the desert all this time for many years before the Holy Spirit essentially tells him to begin his ministry, that the time has come for the people to be prepared to receive their Savior. Look at Paul. On that road to Damascus, he encounters Jesus Christ. There he has his conversion. And yet, he flees into the Arabian desert and spends 3 years there before he finally comes to Jerusalem to consult with the apostles. So, what is it about the desert, you know, that allows, you know, these biblical figures to grow and blossom like a flower that Isaiah sees in that first reading? Well, the desert is a place where there's no self-deception. It's a place where you have to confront the grips of who you are, who you are in relationship with God. See, you look at these desert figures and they become biblical heroes. Abraham becomes the father of many nations. Moses becomes the great leader of the Israelites and the lawgiver. John the Baptist is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He prepares the people, their hearts, their minds, and their souls, by the baptism, to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. St. Paul, he becomes the greatest of all the apostles, the great defender of our church, and the great evangelist, the apostle to the Gentiles. And yet all this occurred because they traveled through that desert, and in doing so, their faith blossomed through the presence of God in their life. Well, as I've said before, Advent is our desert. And just like those biblical figures, we have to move through our desert experience of this Advent season. And just like the biblical heroes, God is essentially taking that seed of faith planted in us such that with the sacraments and prayer, you know, and confession, now God allows that seed to blossom. Just like he did with those biblical figures, and just like Isaiah sees with those flowers blossoming in that desert. And so we continue to push on during this Advent season. It's our desert, and we allow God to continue to grow so that the seed of faith blossoms. What's required upon us? Patience. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.